Hey, on Tuesday, we like to talk about the think programs that we've got right here on 2SER. We're three programs that basically encourage you to have a think about sustainability, have a think about digital futures, and today, have a think about health. I'm joined by Jake Morecambe, who presents, produces, does everything that he can possibly do. We're talking Think Health. How are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you going?
I'm very well.
Well, last week was Palliative Care Week, which in fact is all talking about end-of-life care and developing an end-of-life plan for yourself, which might seem quite morbid, but the thing that I was really trying to explore with last week's show was looking at why that might be beneficial and also what that means for the family.
It's incredibly important. I've spoken to people about it before, and we have this weird taboo about ever discussing the idea that you might die, even when you are imminent for death. We still somehow don't want to ever talk about it. And instead, it just puts this incredible process on the surviving family that can be just horrible for them as well.
Exactly. And the person who I spoke to this week as well, to put a bit of a story behind what exactly palliative care is Imelda, whose husband was living with dementia up until the point that he passed away just 6 months ago. But as you'll hear, I've got a grab to play for you, but with Imelda, she was talking about how this was a comfort, not only for her husband, who unfortunately kind of wasn't all there towards the end of his life, but it just really provided her with a platform and a means of support to walk him through this life into the next.
When I was with him at the lunchtime, I actually said to him, if this is all too hard, it's okay. You don't have to struggle anymore. 7 o'clock that night, I had a call from a doctor. And she said, your husband has aspiration pneumonia. His advanced care plan says no intravenous antibiotics, no tubes of any sort. And I said, yes, that's correct. That's what he wants. At that point, I asked her, what does that mean if he doesn't have the intravenous antibiotics? And she said, well, it could be days or it could be a couple of weeks. The fact that we already had the palliative care plan in motion meant that when he actually became permanently bedridden, it took a bit of the fear of the unknown away, in the sense that I knew that I would be able to make decisions and to make requests that would be acceded to because of the staff knowing where I was coming from.
Taking away some of the fear of the unknown. I mean, that's what it's really meant to be doing, isn't it?
And the thing that Imelda was talking about as well is this was her situation. Everybody's situation is different when it comes to end of life and palliative care. And the thing that she really echoed throughout all of this was that everything that she kind of put into motion for her husband's
demise,
looming death, essentially, was his request too. It was kind of malleable to his experience. And so different people, when it comes to whenever they might be developing a palliative care, have different things that they might like. I actually spoke to someone from the Faculty of Health here at the University of Technology Sydney, palliative care nurse, and she was talking about how there was one woman that she had worked with in palliative care who was also experiencing dementia. But before the dementia began to take over, she said, every morning, I want you to curl my hair and put on lipstick for me. I want to maintain that appearance that I have kept up my entire life. And it's not, I guess, that's just an example to show. It's not necessarily clinical things that are like only within the plan. It's personal things as well. It might seem superficial, but to some, those things really matter. And they can make a massive difference for someone's end-of-life experience.
A massive difference. And it highlights something I guess I hadn't thought of, is how individual those palliative care plans will be. Not because of what you're sort of, you know, suffering as an illness or what you're dying from, but because of who you were before you became the person who was suffering from that illness.
And individualized in the sense as well is that palliative care plans form, or people find a way to develop one in completely different ways. Someone might be talking to a pathologist, someone might be talking to an oncologist, and they're having that first conversation about, oh, okay, what is palliative care? Some might even have that conversation with their GP. The beginnings of palliative care are so different and so diverse, and so are the experiences, and so are the, I guess, means of care to which people are provided. Like dementia patients would have a very different experience of palliative care to someone who might be living with a type of cancer. And that's really the importance of National Palliative Care Week, is to, I guess, provide a platform for these stories to be heard and provide a platform to talk about the different ways that palliative care can work for different people.
And kill off this idea that it's morbid to talk about it, when it is something that it's one of the few things guaranteed to happen to every single one of us why aren't we discussing it?
It seems like the inevitable is somewhat like intrinsically linked to the morbid. And I do feel that there is a sense of morbidity to it as well, because who wants to talk about someone losing a loved one or someone losing a friend, or someone that they really care about? But if you have your head switched on in the sense that you're thinking about it proactively and also thinking about it in a way to be like, it is inevitable, but what can I do to provide my loved one, my friend, my family member the best experience they can have so that they just are comfortable when it comes to their end of life?
It sounds a good way of thinking of it, just as another step in family care. Jake, where can people find more Think Health?
Think Health goes out on 2SER 107.3, 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, but we are also available as a podcast. Just search for Think Health on your favourite podcast app. We're also on iTunes.
Thank you very much. We'll talk some of the more Think programming this time next week. Have a great day.
You too.